are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
And that statement by Barack Obama on October 30th, 2008, is the foundation for everything we're going through right now. Good morning. Welcome into this Monday edition of The Daily Perspective. Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here, driving the crazy bus down the streets of America in pursuit of observations, insight, and a bit of absurdity along the way. It's good to have you along. Thank you so much for joining in the fun. It's always good to know you're there, wherever there may be, and whenever you may be listening, I'm glad you're there. It is the first Monday after we have rolled the clocks back over the weekend. Hopefully you remembered and you weren't embarrassed by any time transition issues. There were plenty of those jokes on social media ahead of that, so hopefully you didn't show up someplace an hour before you were supposed to over the weekend. I know I didn't, because I didn't go anywhere. I basically stayed at the house because my wife Jane is out of town. It's just me and the dog, and I enjoyed some quiet time around the house. Yeah, I did things. I replenished our firewood supply, and you know, I stayed kind of busy, but I didn't go anywhere time sensitive. So no embarrassment for me, except other than just the being me. But I hope you're well. I hope your week is stacking up as a good one and that you have plenty to look forward to in the coming week. The only thing I really have on my outside agenda this week is another edition of Dawson Now, and I'm looking forward to that guest. I'll tell you more about that after we've done the session. That's Thursday, so probably Friday morning I can tell you more about that, because I think it will be next week's. Yeah, I think it's going to be next week's release. Should be pretty good. I'm excited about it, and I think you will be too. It is it's a chilly day in our neighborhood. I honestly haven't looked at our weather forecast. All I know is that when I got up this morning at 5 a.m. and let the dog out to do her business, it was in the low 30s. It was very cold, and very cold for us. I don't know where you are, what very cold amounts to. My brother is in town, or was in town the other day. I picked him up from the airport on Saturday afternoon. He and his lovely wife, just in from Bozeman, Montana, where they'd stopped off to visit his stepson and grandchild, and then came here for a real quick overnight visit on their way to Pensacola to spend the week at my dad's, and then they'll be back here. But they're from Alaska. They're from Fairbanks. That's where they live now. My brother's been there since not long after he got out of the Air Force. He's been there for quite some time. So if you want to talk about cold, hello, talk to my brother. He'll tell you about cold. He said, he just casually mentioned while we were chatting over at my mom's place the other evening, yeah, it's been down around 10, and we've had a little snow, but it's, you know, not much. I'm thinking, it's around 10? If it gets around 10 where I live, people panic. They bundle up like the kid in A Christmas Story that can't walk to school. They burn furniture. They raid the Piggly Wiggly so there's nothing left on the shelves. If it gets around 10 degrees here in the Southlands, here in the heart of Alabama, it's mass panic, hysteria, dogs and cats living together. It's just craziness. And with him, it's just, oh, yeah, I got down around 10. But we are talking about it, people who are used to living in the wintertime with very little sunshine at all at the dead of winter, the literal dead of winter, and temperatures 30 to 40 below zero. That's just hard for anybody to imagine. It's life-threatening. It's horrible. But it's a chunk of every year for people who live that far north. And so when I think about what my brother, where he lives, and he lives there because he loves it. Get that. He loves living there. Well, he was always the real outdoorsman. Me, not so much. I had other things I was interested in. He was interested in hunting and fishing and such. And he would go, he would go by himself down to my grandparents' place in South Alabama and go turkey hunting. He's the guy. deer hunting, turkey hunting, any whatever the season was, he'd be out there. And if he could catch it with a rod and reel, he'd be into that as well. And I got interested in such things a little later, but not as early as he did. And wow, when you go to Alaska, that's what Alaska's about, my man. That's what Alaska's about. I mean, the population of the entire state is about the population of Birmingham, Alabama. There's just not that many people there. The towns are small. Everything is spread out. It's a long way to everywhere. And if you don't want to cope with the idiocy of mankind, move to Alaska. You won't be bothered. Trust me. Oh my gosh. But that was pretty much it for the weekend. Making sure that they were in town and their transportation was taken care of and everything. That's that and getting some firewood. Those were the high points of my weekend. And then I started focusing on what to talk about coming this week. And I've got a stack of things. And as usual, I'm not going to get to everything. I'm just not going to get to everything. There are some articles that I'll include in show notes today. Make sure you pick up the show notes because I've got, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, possibly 8 stories that I won't get to that I have stacked up today. And I think they're important. And these are stories that, I probably can't roll them over. You know what I mean? I can't just recycle them for use tomorrow or the next day because they're just not going to hold up that well. But there are more things, excuse me. There are other things, I should say, that Wow, I don't know where that came from. I just all of a sudden, Phineas T. Frog was crawling out of my throat. It's just really weird. But there are things that I think we need to talk about that I think are higher on the priority list. And that's what we're going to focus on today. But please get the show notes today. Make sure you check them. I'll post them on Facebook so you can get to them. There'll be a link on Twitter as well. So just make sure you get today's show notes because there are stories. There's one about Common Core you really need to read about. There's one about someone who's making the impeachment rules, someone who is responsible for the rules that are being enacted by Adam Schiff in these impeachment hearings, and who it is and his record. You need to read this story. There's a story out of the Dallas Morning News about what's happening in California and how things are failing there that we don't ever hear about, just don't hear about. There's a story about the Australian gun buyback program. Leftists flaunt Australia's example as successful. They're lying. There's no other word to describe what they're doing. They're lying about the success of the Australian gun buyback. There's a story about how many guns they actually didn't get off the streets. You need to know, because this is what they want here. It was a failure there, and they're lying about it so they can do it here. Because power and control. That's why. A story about something called vote harvesting. It's dry. It's dull. It's uninteresting by and large. It's just not sexy. But vote harvesting is becoming very popular in larger cities across America, larger places across America that are under Democrat control. And vote harvesting is just kicking the door open for vote fraud. It's a problem, and you need to know about it. So read that story as well. And let's see, what else is there? A Stanford professor. This one I may actually hold over and get to tomorrow because it's extremely important when you think about what's happening with our homelessness and issues that are affecting America today as they result to mental health. Also, mass shootings and the like. They're all tied to mental health. And there's a reason we no longer have the institutions in place we once did to treat mental illness. And there was one person behind what changed in our treatment of mental illness, and that person, it's beginning to look like that person lied about his findings, that he manufactured a lot of it. And as a result, we have the situation today. Oh, the same thing happened with DDT, by the way. The same thing happened with Roe v. Wade. But this is about mental health. Take a look at it. That'll all be in the show notes today. But first up, let's go back to what I played you at the very beginning.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
October 30th, 2008, Barack Obama speaking to an enthusiastically friendly crowd, telling him that we are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Just a few months before that, on May 14th of the same year, Michelle Obama said, "We're going to have to change our conversation. We're going to have to change our traditions, our history. We're going to have to move into a different place as a nation." What is that? That is fundamental transformation. Now, let's look at the difference between transformation and restoration for just a moment. I watch a lot of car shows. Guys who will get a beat-up old GTO, they'll pull it into the shop, and one of two things is going to happen. If they're going to restore the car, they will pull every part off of the car. They will tear every bit of it down to the wiring in the car. They'll pull it all out. Every nut, bolt, screw, plastic fastener, the upholstery, they particle blast it down to bare metal. They fix every bit of damage on the car. They, in some cases, will even have nuts and bolts electroplated so they're the same color they were when they came off of the factory assembly line. And when they're through, that car will look exactly like it did when it rolled off of the assembly line oh so many years ago. It has been restored to its original condition, its original beauty. It has been restored. That is a restoration. On the other hand, what could happen is that that same GTO rolls in or gets dragged in, depending on its condition, and they do the same disassembly, the same teardown. Every nut, bolt, screw, washer, piece of wiring, upholstery, the radio, the antenna, everything, headlights, taillights, body panels, paint stripped down to the bare metal, everything on the body reconditioned, and then things begin to change. Instead of it looking exactly like it did when it came off of the assembly line at the factory, they put a new frame underneath it. That is a modern, up-to-date, contemporary frame. They replace the suspension so that the car drives, handles, rides like a brand new current car. They replace the engine with something that is more dependable, more powerful, and modern. The same with the air conditioning system. They replace the seats. They custom make upholstery. They hand-pick carpets and fabrics. They hand-pick custom paint colors. They replace all of the lighting with modern high-intensity LEDs, from the headlights to the turn indicators to the brake lights. They might even change the shape of the openings that all of these things are in and custom mold their own lenses for all of the lights. The steering wheel is different. The dashboard is different. The stereo will make your ears bleed. And when it rolls out of the shop into the sunshine, it looks like the original GTO, except for certain little things on the outside that clue you in that something's different here. It's not sitting as high as it should. The tires and wheels are much wider. And when you get closer, you realize the lights are different, the trim is different, the bumpers are different, the door handles are different, the upholstery, the carpet. Everything about the car is different. It's been transformed. And what Barack Obama and the progressives have wanted to do to this country since, well, as far back as they've been around, the progressives, that is, they want to transform this country into something it was never intended to be. They look at our Constitution and they want to reinterpret it based on current times. They want laws in place which reflect current ideology. They want to complicate life based on their views of the world. If you truly love something, if you truly love someone, you don't seek to transform that thing or that person. You seek to restore them. Our nation needs a restoration, not a transformation. You are listening to The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. Looking at the state of the nation, so to speak, hopefully through an honest lens, instead of tilting things in certain directions. I'd like to think that I'm seeing things honestly, and I hope you do as well. I've said this many times here, that honesty is important if we're going to have a firm grip on reality. And we see that grip on reality being extremely loose with people who are not honest with themselves or about life. They want to see things a different way than they actually are, and they want the world to be different than it actually is, and the only way they can make that happen is by being dishonest. And it's a shame. It's a real shame, because there is great joy, great fulfillment in life if you're honest about it and comes to grips with it. And if you can't cope with it, there are ways to learn how to, and to learn how to be honest about it, and to embrace that joy and that fulfillment. But those who can't or refuse to will buck against everyone else, and they will make changes. Progressives, first, they overlook evil. Then they permit evil. Then they legalize evil. Then they promote evil. Then they celebrate evil. Then they persecute those who still call it evil. And that's the pattern. When you see that pattern taking place, you can recognize where it's coming from. It's coming from progressives. Let's go back through it again. They overlook evil. Then they permit evil. When they can no longer ignore it or overlook it, they let it happen. And then they take strides to legalize it. And then, instead of just it being legal, they promote it. And then they celebrate it. And then they persecute those who still call it what it is. We're seeing this happen to degrees here in the United States of America today. It's happening before our very eyes. And if you follow news coming from the UK and from other European countries, you will see that they've got their pedal to the metal there. The progressives have their foot on the floor, and they're going as fast as they can in this particular process. Right now, people are being persecuted for calling things what they are. Losing their jobs, being blacklisted. We're seeing that begin to happen here, but it's happening in full force in Europe today. Denying reality and punishing people for standing up and saying, hey, the emperor is wearing no clothes. Just be aware. Be aware of that process. Overlook it, permit it, legalize it, promote it, celebrate it, and then persecute those who still call it what it is. Well, we talked about last week the whistleblower, and over the weekend, news about the whistleblower began to explode. The whistleblower on the call with President Donald Trump and the Ukraine president. He actually wasn't on the call. He wasn't in the room. He wasn't on another phone. He was just told things by other people, possibly. although I'm beginning to doubt that. And he made a lot of crap up. Well, Greg Jarrett, he's a Fox News correspondent, says the whistleblower is not a whistleblower, really. He is, in fact, a spy. A spy put in place by Representative Adam Schiff. He says, the so-called whistleblower is not a whistleblower under the law, as I first explained in a column 6 weeks ago. Hence, he is not entitled to identity protection. He doesn't qualify. He's an undercover informant and Democratic operative who was spying on Trump and working with Schiff. Schiff has been hiding his identity and obstructing all questions about him in order to conceal the evidence of how this informant colluded with Schiff and his staff to invent a pretext to impeach the president. This is the malignant force I write about in my book, Witch Hunt, says Jarrett. This comes from a series of tweets that he put out over the weekend on Saturday. Democrats are in a panic as the secret identity of their fabled whistleblower has been revealed, and it shows they're not unbiased. The identity of the whistleblower has been referred to as an open secret in Washington, D.C., but now that name could be known to everyone. We talked about this last week. The report coming from Real Clear Investigations. The name of a government official fitting the description, Eric Charamella, has been raised privately with impeachment depositions, according to officials with direct knowledge of the proceedings, as well as in at least one open hearing held by a House committee not involved in the impeachment inquiry. Fearing their anonymous witness could be exposed, Democrats this week blocked Republicans from asking more questions about him and intend to redact his name from all deposition transcripts. Real Clear Investigations is disclosing the name because of the public's interest in learning details of an effort to remove a sitting president from office. Further, the official's status as a whistleblower is complicated by his being a hearsay reporter of accusations against the president, one who has some indicia of an arguable political bias in favor of a rival political candidate, as the Intelligence Community Inspector General phrased it circumspectly in originally fielding his complaint. Federal documents reveal that the 33-year-old Charamella, a registered Democrat held over from the Obama White House, previously worked with former Vice President Joe Biden and former CIA Director John Brennan, a vocal critic of Trump who helped initiate the Russia collusion investigation of the Trump campaign during the 2016 election. Further, Charamella left his national security posting in the White House's West Wing in mid-2017 amid concerns about negative leaks to the media. He has since returned to CIA headquarters in Langley, Virginia. A former national security official said he was accused of working against Trump and leaking against Trump. Also, Charamella huddled for guidance with the staff of House Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff, including former colleagues also held over from the Obama era, whom Schiff's office had recently recruited from the NSC. And Charamella worked with a Democratic National Committee operative who dug up dirt on the Trump campaign during the 2016 election, inviting her into the White House for meetings, former White House colleagues say. Documents confirm the DNC opposition researcher attended at least one White House meeting with Charamella in November 2015. She visited the White House with a number of Ukrainian officials lobbying the Obama administration for aid for Ukraine. So Charamella, the whistleblower, has been working as an operative undercover behind the scenes for quite some time, at the behest of Adam Schiff, a spy put into place for the purpose of digging up dirt on the President of the United States, who won an election and defeated the ongoing effort to continue the fundamental transformation of the United States of America. What's happening under the surface in D.C., what the Democrats have been up to is it's almost unimaginable. When you just go through life in this country, enjoying the life that you have here, and you Oh, you get up, you go to work every day, you raise your kids, you get them into school, you try to establish some sort of a moral foundation for your kids and for your family. You work hard, you save for the future, you hope to get your kids into a good college. You enjoy your life as much as you can, and then you look up one day from your life, and you realize that the people that America has voted into office are criminals. They're crooks, and they're trying to steal the nation away from you. It's disheartening. And it should make you angry. When you find out that somebody was put into place in the White House as a spy to dig up dirt on a duly elected president in hopes of removing him from office because he defeated the candidate you rigged an election for, you realize that some things are deeply broken in Washington, D.C., and that we, as Americans, need to look up from life and pay attention and correct the problems before the problems sink this great ship we call the United States of America. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. God bless you. It's a great day. Glad to have you along. It is the Monday edition of the podcast. And sorry, I'm just looking over. What is this bumper music? I like this bumper music. Got to remember that track. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood for me. Hopefully it is for you as well. We're looking at the sad state of affairs that is right now the United States of America and the attempted coup to take down a duly elected president currently being carried out by the Democrat Party. And, you know, I said last week that the further along we go, the more desperate their effort gets. And you can see it. It's obvious to people with honest eyes that the Democrats are desperate for power and control. And that's not what this country is about. Actually, we are supposed to be the government, you and I. The nation was set up to be self-government, governed, set up as a republic. And yet, you have politicians every day saying, our democracy is in danger. Well, good, because we don't need a democracy, we need a republic. Democracies always end up eating themselves. They always end up committing suicide in some way. Democracies always fail because people who love power and control work their way to the top by making promises and lying to the people, and then they take over and the people are no longer in charge. They answer to a ruling class, a political elite. And if you step back and take a couple of deep cleansing breaths and get honest with yourself and then look at Washington, D.C., guess what you see? You see a politically elite ruling class telling America what it can and can't do. Not people fighting to keep our interests in the forefront. Not people there just to represent the interests of you and I, but people who are intoxicated by the power and the control. So much so that they will work, get up every day and work into their 80s, sometimes 90s, into their old age, working rather than going back and enjoying the life that they could be living with their families in a nation they fought to preserve and protect. They are so addicted to that power and control. They'll do anything, anything, to make sure they get more of it. Well, Adam Schiff pulled in a witness last week into these hearings that we're privy to tiny scraps of, a Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. And someone who served with him back in 2012 says Vindman is a partisan Democrat through and through. Lieutenant Colonel Jim Hickman says Vindman was so partisan and anti-American, he had to reprimand him for making others uncomfortable. He says in a tweet, "I know LTC Alex Vindman from a combined U.S.-Russian exercise called Atlas Vision 12 in Grafenwöhr in Germany. He worked with the Russian embassy, and I was assigned to the JMTC. Let me see if I can find a way. Hey, let me pull this down here instead of reading the tweets. Multinational Training Command. He worked coordination with the Russian 15th Peacekeeping Brigade, and I was in charge of all simulations planning, as well as assisting the USA REUR lead planner as the senior military planner. The following account of LTC Vindman's words and actions are completely accurate to the best of my recollection, and I've been corroborated by others. We interacted on several different occasions throughout the planning cycle, but it was during the actual execution of the exercise that we had an issue relevant to his recent testimony. As stated earlier, Atlas Vision 12 was conducted at JMTC in the Virtual Battle Simulations 2 classrooms for simulation. Vindman, who was a major at the time, was sitting in one of the classrooms talking to the U.S. and Russian soldiers, as well as the young officers and GS employees about America, Russia, and Obama. He was apologetic of American culture, laughed about Americans not being educated or worldly, and really talked up Obama and globalism to the point of uncomfortable. He would speak with the Russian soldiers and laugh as if at the expense of the U.S. personnel. It was so uncomfortable and unprofessional, one of the GS employees came and told me everything above. I walked over and sat within earshot of Vindman, and sure enough, all was confirmed. One comment truly struck me as odd. It was with respect to America's falsely thinking they're exceptional. When he said, he, meaning Obama, is working on that now. And he said it with a snide, "I know a secret," look on his face. I honestly don't know what it meant. It just sounded like an odd thing to say. Regardless, after hearing him bash America a few times in front of subordinates, Russians, and GS employees, as well as hearing an earful about globalization, Obama's plan, etc., I'd had enough. I tapped him on the shoulder and asked him to step outside. At that point, I verbally reprimanded him for his actions, and I'll leave it at that so as not to be unprofessional myself. The bottom line is LTC Vindman was a partisan Democrat at least as far back as 2012, so much so junior officers and soldiers felt uncomfortable around him. This is not your professional field-grade officer who has the character and integrity to do the right thing. Do not let the uniform fool you. He is a political activist in uniform. I pray our nation will drop this hate, vitriol, and division and unite as our founding fathers intended. I need to make a slight correction on my statement. It was actually Atlas Vision 13 when the incident occurred. Says he was thrown off as the next year Russia invaded Crimea. Also, I was promoted to Chief Regional Joint and Combined Exercises Branch over many exercises. But this person who was there serving with this person, serving with Vindman, heard his anti-American sentiment, heard his pro-Obama sentiment, and reprimanded him for that expression in this particular environment, and says that he is a political activist wearing a uniform. So this guy's testimony needs to be viewed through that lens. That now we know this guy, this person, is not an unbiased witness being interviewed in an unbiased hearing, seeking the truth. This person is a political activist playing a role in kangaroo court seeking to take down the sitting president. Part of the coup, trying to remove him from office, as I've said before, because he defeated Hillary Clinton, who would continue the effort begun in office 8 years prior by Barack Obama. The man who said,
"We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America."
The Democrats' desire to fundamentally transform this nation is what drives everything they do. They want to transform this nation into a model similar to European socialism. They want socialism in America. And we have a president who has stood up in front of all of them and the United States of America, millions upon millions of viewers on television, and said, "The United States of America will never be a socialist nation." He has put down his foot and made it very clear he will not allow that to happen. And because of this, they've basically painted a bullseye on him, and they're trying to take him out. Intolerance, hatred, violence, disruption, fascism, racism, sexism, it all rises from the left. Something to remember when you read the news of the day and people are pointing fingers at Donald Trump. One thing I saw over the weekend that I thought was very interesting was something that Donald Jr. said that he put on Twitter. He thought it was very interesting to accuse his father of being racist when his father introduced him to black people, made friends with black people, including Michael Jackson. And as a child, he was raised with positive black role models in his life. He says, if he's a racist, he's doing a really bad job of it. You can take that as an example that these people are lying to us every day. So is the news media. They're all lying to us. And I don't want to come off sounding like a radical paranoid of some kind, but it's more and more evident that we're being lied to by the news media, that they are lying by omission and in other ways. They're not telling us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth about what's going on right now in Washington, D.C. They're leaving America with the impression that we have a very corrupt person in the Oval Office who needs to be removed. And they're not telling us, as I said, the whole truth. They're hiding things from us. Because they know that if we know everything, that we won't stand for what they're trying to do. But here's the good news. Most Americans, the people who aren't being polled, most Americans don't believe what they're being told on the news. Most Americans are looking beyond the traditional news sources. I think a majority of people, likely voters, I should say, are digging them a little more deeply because they want to know what's really going on when it comes time to cast their vote next year, a year from now. Because they know how important it is to get this right. Because to get it wrong spells bad things for this country. And final segment of this Monday edition of the Daily Perspective. I'm looking at my list here. I'm actually editing on the fly. I'll include it all in the show notes today. Don't worry about it. The stuff I skipped, I'll just go ahead and throw it in there. But I haven't been doing that lately. I've just been putting in the show notes what I've discussed. And today I'll throw it all in there. That way you can see every bit of it, okay? All right. Well, we're all familiar probably by now with Katie Hill. She was the Democrat under investigation by the House of Representatives Ethics Committee. She's apologized for her behavior, but she's also denouncing what she calls gutter politics and the right-wing media for publishing intimate photos. Okay, we'll come back to that. She says, I'm leaving because of a misogynistic culture that gleefully consumed my naked pictures, capitalized on my sexuality, and enabled my abusive ex to continue that abuse, this time with the entire country watching. That's what she said in a farewell speech on the House floor. She also says, but we have men who have been credibly accused of intentional acts of sexual violence and remain in boardrooms, on the Supreme Court. Who could she possibly be talking about? In this very body, and worst of all, in the Oval Office. Really? So the fight goes on to create the change that every woman and girl in this country deserves. Now, Hill is from California. She's apparently referring to Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh and President Donald Trump, who have been accused of and denied allegations of sexual assault and misconduct. More than a dozen women have accused Trump, a Republican, of making unwanted sexual advances against them years before he entered politics. Trump has denied the accusations. Hill, who's going through a divorce, has blamed her husband for a smear campaign against her and has said she is pursuing legal options. She's apologized for having an inappropriate relationship with a campaign staffer before entering Congress, but she's denied other accusations that she has had a relationship with a congressional staffer. Hill defeated incumbent Republican Steve Knight in a district north of Los Angeles last year to help the Democrats win control of the House. Her district is seen by election analysts as one of the most competitive in the country. While Hill's departure could help Republicans win back her seat in November 2020, they still face an uphill climb in their effort to regain control of the House. Yeah, that whole situation in California, there's a lot of chatter, and was a lot of chatter, about dirty dealings and funny business and shenanigans going on to make sure that Democrats won and controlled as much as absolutely possible. As much as possible. Let's go back up. To the beginning here where she says, or not to the beginning, but a little further up. Yeah. And says that she's under investigation by the House of Representatives. She apologized for her behavior, but also denounced gutter politics and the right wing for publishing intimate photos. Is it too much to ask to just acknowledge the elephant in the room? Can we not just do that, please? And here's the elephant. If she hadn't been up to funny business, there wouldn't be any photos. I know that's hard to wrap your brain around, but if you didn't do the crime, you wouldn't be doing the time. That's all there is to it. And you're giving yourself license to, shall we say, misbehave by blaming everybody else. It's like saying, well, I wouldn't be in jail if the cop hadn't, you know, if the stupid cop wasn't doing his job. That's kind of what we got going on here. She's been caught. She's done something that most people object to. She's crossed lines legally. She has behaved in an objectionable manner. And now, because she got caught, she's having to step down, or choosing to step down. Well, if she hadn't been doing these things, there would be no issues. Now, would there? Of course not. Of course there wouldn't be issues. But when we're dealing with progressives, it's always someone else's fault. There's always someone else to blame. There's always an explanation. And that explanation never involves personal responsibility. This is the result of smashing down the guardrails that we have in our lives. I've referred to this before. We have standards for reasons. Those standards keep us out of the ditches. They're guardrails. Those who want to misbehave and do whatever they want to do and not assume responsibility for the consequences of their actions always condemn the standards that prevent them from misbehaving. They always do. Always. They blame everything and everyone but their own decisions for where they are. Prisons, right now, even as I speak and you listen, prisons are populated with people who didn't do the crime. If you listen to them, it wasn't them. They didn't do it. They were framed. The system's corrupt. There's a whole list. And Washington, D.C. is populated with people who are a little more articulate, but they do the same thing. Another piece of evidence that our society, our culture is crumbling is daytime TV, specifically The View. And just when you think things can't get any more ridiculous on The View, the hosts spend time whining the president's son's Halloween costume is insensitive to animals. I don't know if you saw the pictures. On Friday's show, they also complained about a 2020 campaign ad in which Joy Behar declared was full of paid actors, quote, just like the ones who go to his rallies, end quote. So the people, according to Joy Behar, the thousands upon thousands of people who are going to the Trump rallies are paid actors. Oh, sure they are, Joy. You just go on believing that. Somebody want to check Joy's meds? They started the show recapping Halloween after the co-host praised Behar's quid pro quo t-shirt she was wearing. They put up an image of Donald Trump Jr. with his girlfriend, former Fox News Channel host Kimberly Guilfoyle, dressed up as a hunter and a witch, respectively, a witch hunt. Behar and Hostin suddenly pretended they were animal rights activists. He's a real hunter and he likes to kill animals, Sonny Hostin declared. Behar sneered, why would you brag about something like that? This comes just a week after they defended Whoopi Goldberg for being targeted by PETA for admitting she likes bacon. Double standard much? Hostin repeated again, he kills animals, in case we didn't hear her the first time. Friday co-host Anna Navarro, however, thought he should be wearing a prison suit. Quote, maybe he should have worn a prison suit. Orange is the new black, she cracked as the audience and host chuckled. That was when Behar announced that Don Jr. and Guilfoyle would be coming on The View next week. That would be this week. Which made their audience gasp and boo at the news. Their liberal fans on Twitter reacted as if they were bringing Satan himself on the stage. Well, that is... Oh God! And then they talked about that ad. There was not one black woman in that ad. They couldn't pay a black actress enough money to be in it. Wow. Wow. This is daytime TV. And this is what concerns me the most, actually, about daytime TV, is that there is an audience for this. And there are people who will not miss this. There are people who make it appointment viewing. They won't miss The View. They're being indoctrinated and programmed by these clueless idiots on The View every day, instead of being wise like you and seeking the truth. Now I'm going to seek the door and get out of here. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.